kind of want to continue. We studied last quarter on the study of God's providence. I want to continue with that this evening. A few lessons I didn't get to, so this is a good opportunity to try to finish at least one of those up. Look this evening at the topic of providence and miracles. When you think about providence and miracles, and many times the way the world wants to think about miracles, they want to use those two terms interchangeably. And of course, we know from our study that we've been doing that it's simply not the case. We will look this evening at why those two are different, how they're different, and then discuss a little bit towards the end whether or not miracles continue today or whether they have ceased. And of course, most of us know the answer to that. But does God in His providence use miracles today as He did in biblical times? And the key to understanding this, and C.L. touched on some of the things we look at this evening, but it's understanding the purpose behind the miracles, the purpose behind these things that God allowed to happen. That's a little bit what we're going to look at this evening. You look in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. You see four basic terms there that are used in describing miracles or miraculous acts. It says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. You'll see those terms there, signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, all terms used to describe miraculous acts. When we think of those terms, they're going to help us understand the lesson here this evening. But again, in order to understand the difference in providence and miracles, we need to realize that yes, God does wonderful, He does wonderful and good things for us all the time. But everything that God does is not miraculous. It's not a miracle, if you will. Through God's power, He's created patterns in nature as well. He's created patterns that continue from the beginning when He created those things, that they continue still today, the patterns of nature that we see all around us. So God's power is seen in natural means as well as the supernatural. You look in Vine's dictionary, it defines miracle as a power or inherent ability. It's used of works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents and means. It says it can also mean a sign, a mark, or a token. It's used as signs of divine authority. In other words, when those biblical people of that time were witnesses to these miraculous things done by Jesus or done by the apostles, there was no other logical explanation than it was done from divine authority. Although there were many who would refute that then and refuse to believe it, these things were signs of divine authority. So miracles, in short, are supernatural events that manifest the power of God. Understand these things are above natural means. Again, these things are evidence of God. In Hebrews 2 and verse 4 that we looked at, through miracles God bore witness of Himself. Miracles again displayed the power and might that only God could possess. There's no other explanation for these things. When you go back in the Old Testament and you look, we see God's power there and the examples of the miraculous events on behalf of Israel. You can go back in Exodus and look at the plagues that He sent upon the Egyptians in order to free Israel from their Egyptian bondage. But again, these things show His power and His might. You look back in Exodus chapter 7. In verse 17, as God prepared there to pronounce these plagues upon Egypt, He prepares here to turn the water into blood in the land of Egypt. We notice the statement that Moses is to give to Pharaoh. Again, Exodus 7 and verse 17. It says, "Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood." Again, that statement there, "by this you shall know that I am the Lord." This was the message to be given to Pharaoh. God was going to make it clear to Pharaoh, clear to Egypt, that this was on behalf of God. This was on behalf of the power that God possessed. It was unlike any power that man had or was capable, anything that man was capable of. It was far beyond that. It was far beyond what man could do. But again, through these miracles, through these plagues, Israel, Egypt, many other nations, would know the power of God. They would know who God was. You look in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Again, these signs of the plagues, there was to be no doubt that God was behind these things. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's sons the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." Again, these signs, these plagues, these things that he did would give testimony of God's awesome and mighty power, not only to the generations that saw those things, but for generations to come. Not only to Israel and to Egypt, but many other nations would know God's power and His might. Again, we know that all these plagues ultimately led up to that final plague of that finally convinced Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go in the death of the firstborn. We think about the parting of the Red Sea that allowed Israel to escape from Pharaoh's army as he pursued them. We think about in Exodus chapter 7 when Aaron's rod swallowed up the rods of Pharaoh's magicians. Again, all of these things were miraculous events, and all of these things bore witness of God's awesome and mighty power. Again, things that only could be accomplished by God, by divine authority. You look in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. Notice again there the words that God told Moses to give Pharaoh. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." So again, we understand that Pharaoh was raised up for a specific purpose, that these miracles, these signs, these plagues, all these things were done for a purpose, that the whole earth may know God. We understand that miracles allowed Israel to be free, but they also prove the greatness and the might of the Almighty God. Any questions or comments on that? You look in Joshua chapter 2. You recall the words there of Rahab and what she said about God years later as Israel prepared to go into and conquer Jericho. Look at what she said in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." So again, these things bore witness, not only that generation, but for years to come, to other nations, if they may know also who God was and what He was capable of. Many other miracles that we could point to in the Old Testament. You could look in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, how Israel was led through the wilderness by the cloud by day, by the fire by night. You can look at the walls of Jericho that we just mentioned, how they fell down as Israel marched around the city. They blew their trumpets and shouted in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. Chapter 6 and verse 27. We notice what was said of Joshua. It says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country." Again, Joshua's name became famous, but it was due to the power of God. It says the Lord there was with him. Again, this miraculous defeat of Jericho, it was known throughout the country. Again, it was evidence of God's power. You look in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 3, we read of the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down and before King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. They refused to fall down and worship, and thus they were penalized. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Notice verses 26 and 27 of chapter 3. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them." You drop down to verses 28 and 29. We notice there Nebuchadnezzar's acknowledgement there of the power and the might of God based upon these things that he had seen. It said, "Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree for any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made as ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Again, he realized who God was. He realized this awesome and mighty power, that it must be from God. The miraculous deliverance of these men was evidence. It bore witness of God and His power and His dominion. Nebuchadnezzar was convinced of the almighty nature of God. Look in Daniel chapter 6. We all know the account of Daniel and the lion's den, how he was thrown into the den of lions, how God shut the mouths of the lions. He protected Daniel there. And, of course, God saved Daniel from a certain death. But we also notice King Darius' response to witnessing such a miraculous event in Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. It says, "Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Again, the events of Daniel and the lion's den were evidence. They bore witness of God's unlimited abilities, and the result was that it caused belief. Again, this account provided proof of to Darius and proof even to us today as we go back and read about these things. We realize that these things are not just children's stories, as we mentioned before, but these things are historical accounts of things that had happened. They bear witness of God and His power, the things that God and only God was able to do. There's much more in the Old Testament that you could mention. And when you go to the New Testament, we see more examples there. When you think about the miracles of Christ and also the apostles, look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And we think about the things that Jesus did, the signs and wonders that He did while He was here on earth. We notice what is said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Peter's message there on the day of Pentecost. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." The King James Version there says, "approved of God." We think about the term there, attested or approved. Strong says that term means to declare. It means to show. To prove what kind of person anyone is, to prove by arguments or to demonstrate. So we understand by miracles, wonders, and signs, God bore witness that Jesus was indeed His Son, that He was the Messiah that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. These things declared and proved who Jesus was. They proved His deity. You look back in Matthew chapter 11. We notice John the Baptist's question to Jesus while John was in prison. When you look in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 through 5, it says, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" Again, these miracles were evidence, they were proof that Jesus was this coming one that John was looking for, that he had heard about. He was the Messiah prophesied about. And Jesus said to tell John about these miracles so that there would be no doubt that Jesus truly was the Christ, that their wait was over, that they need not wait or they need not look for anybody else. We notice Christ's words in John chapter 5 and verse 36. It says, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Again, the Father bore witness through these works or these signs. And these signs validated the claims of Jesus that He was indeed sent by the Father, that He indeed was the Son of God. Look in the book of John, as C.L. covered in his class on Sunday morning. We have there recorded many signs and wonders that Jesus did. And we'll just go through these real quick. We'll not read them all for the sake of time. But again, we notice the purpose, the ultimate purpose behind these things which were done. And they were to cause belief. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have the account there of Jesus turning the water into wine there in Cana. You look in verse 11, we notice what is said of the signs that Jesus did. You look in verse 11. It said, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him." Again, the sign of turning the water into wine, along with these other signs that He did, manifested His glory. It caused belief. It caused people to believe in who He said that He was. You look in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, when Jesus healed the nobleman's son. Again, Christ performed this miracle so that the son would live, but even more than that, that the people would believe that He was the Christ. You look in verses 47 and 48. It says, "When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.'" So they needed to see these signs and these wonders. That was the purpose here behind these things. In John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we see that Jesus healed the lame man at the pool of Bethsaida. Verse 8 says, "Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked." And that day was the Sabbath. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, we read that Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And in fact, when they were done eating, there was food left over. You look in verse 12. It says, "So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost.' Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten." You look down at verse 14, you see there the response of the people who bore witness or who were witnesses to these things. In verse 14 it says, "Then those men, when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.'" At least realize that this wasn't done by natural means, that it was done by divine authority. It caused that response in them. Again, it provided proof and evidence. Later in the same chapter, in verses 16 through 21, we see again that Jesus again showed His power over nature as He walked on the water. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, Jesus there healed the blind man who was blind from birth. You notice what the blind man said when he was questioned there about the Pharisees when you drop down to verse 33 of chapter 6. It that wrong. Chapter 9, verse 33. It says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. In other words, if this man were not from God, if this power were not on high, this man would not be able to do these things. I would not have received my sight. It would have been impossible. Look also at verses 34 through 38. It says, they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Again, these things that were done caused belief in this individual. And again, realizing that these powers were not done by natural means, that they came from the divine. In John chapter 11, verses 39 through 44, we find there that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said in verse 39, take away the stone, Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Again, he did these things, and he said in verse 42 that they may believe that you sent me. There was a purpose behind these things. Look at verse 45. It says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Again, they believed based on the evidence that they had seen. The wonders and the signs there that Christ was able to do bore witness of this power. You look back in John chapter 3 at the words of Nicodemus, the Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. At least Nicodemus was able to admit that. He realized that these things would be impossible to do by natural means. That these things were far beyond the power of what natural mankind or what humans could do. You look back in chapter 11, verses 47 and 48. We see there that even the enemies of Christ had a hard time not believing, even though they would refuse to admit it. They had a hard time not realizing. You look in verse 47. It says, then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. So again, these signs were undeniable. These miraculous events were undeniable. These things were things that people took note of. They could not deny the signs of the miraculous.
Brother Austin, go ahead.
Go ahead.
John 21:11, there where Peter fished all night and that caught a thing. And Jesus walked up to where he was, got close to where he was at. He was gathering his stuff together. And Jesus told him to cast his net over on the other side of the ship, the boat, whatever he was in. And he said, Lord, we've torn here all night and haven't caught a thing. But he said, as thy word, we will. And he cast his net over on the other side, pulled it back in. He had 153 fish in his net, and his net was not even broken. And then there where Peter began to think, well, who is this guy can do these things?
That's right. That these things were undeniable, the things that Jesus was able to do because of the power that he was granted, because he was the Christ. Look in John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. He had appeared before the disciples. Thomas still doubted that this was truly the same Jesus that had been crucified. And of course we know the account of how Jesus proved that to him. When you look in verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Again, Thomas doubted, and Jesus showed him a sign of proof that he was the Christ, that he was the Jesus, the same one that had been crucified.
Thomas, you've seen me and believed it, but blessed is the one that has seen me and believed it. I believe that's us.
Absolutely. We've not seen it with our eyes, but we have those accounts.
And
we have these things written.
When Peter was talking to him there about verse 21 and 11, he said, as your word. You know, the Bible says the word is true.
Exactly right.
No matter what. If we believe in what the word says, we'll be all right.
Exactly right.
Repent of our sin and be baptized. That's the way I look at it.
You look in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John very clearly stated the purpose behind these signs that Jesus did. John chapter 20, and verse 30. Said, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." That was the purpose of these signs and these miracles, that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If these things that we read, we know they are true, as Nathan said. And we have evidence. They bear witness of who Christ was, who he is. And that believing and obeying, we may have life in his name. That, again, that's the purpose behind these things. When you look in the book of Acts, we probably don't have time to get through all of these, but we have recorded for us many miracles and signs and wonders that the apostles did. We're told in John chapter 14 and 26 how Jesus had promised the apostles that they would receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that would come and help aid them in their mission and the spreading of the gospel. And you look in chapter 1 and verse 8 of Acts, Jesus told the apostles there that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." We know this happened in Acts chapter 2, that they received the Holy Spirit just as Jesus promised that they would. And again, they were aided in their abilities, the things that they were able to do, the signs and the wonders that they could do that aided them in the spreading of the gospel throughout all the nations, to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike. We have many of these recorded in Acts chapter 3. We know that Peter and John healed the lame man at the gate Beautiful. We have the words there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, "And through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6 of the work of Philip. Said, "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 41, we read that Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. We notice the result of that when you look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 42. It says, "And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord." Again, that was a result of what was done. In Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 11, you have there the account of Elymas the sorcerer, who was a false teacher and a prophet, and how Paul there, he was struck blind by the power of God through the hands of Paul. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 18, we read there of how Paul healed the demon-possessed girl. In Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, you want to flip over there. We notice the words and what was said about Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So again, no doubt that there were many signs and wonders performed and recorded for us on the pages of the Bible. There's no denying that. But again, to understand the purpose of why these things were done is the key to understanding whether or not they continue today. And when we talk about God's providence, it's the key to understanding how God's providence continues today. Even though He doesn't use these miraculous means, He's no less powerful today than He was then. But again, understand the main purpose of these miracles, that it wasn't necessarily to heal the sick. The main purpose was to confirm the message that was being taught. It was to confirm the message of their preaching and their teaching. You look in Mark chapter 16. Beginning in verse 17. It says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Again, the confirmation of what they taught was done through these signs. Again, it was clear evidence that these men were teaching the truth, that these weren't false teachers, as had come before. When you look in Acts chapter 5, we understand that there were many false teachers that had come before, but they couldn't back their claims up. These signs or these miracles, they had no proof behind what they taught. Let's read this and then we'll stop for this evening. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 34. It says, "Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of census and drew away many of the people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this work is of man, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So again, these things that they taught were different from what these other men had taught. That they had these signs, they had these wonders, these miracles that they were able to do to prove that their message was true. That was the difference. That was the purpose behind these things. Any questions?